The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
And cut through some of the vagueness or some of the abstract ways in which people maybe sometimes approach mindfulness. And this practice is called mindfulness out loud. So let me explain to you how it's done, and don't jump to conclusions until you hear the whole thing. So the idea here is that you're going to partner up with another person, and one person's going to be the witness or the supporter, and the other person's going to be the person who does the practice. And the person who does the practice for about 10 minutes is just going to do a simple mindfulness practice of what being mindful of what's happening in the present moment as it happens. It can be anything at all. It's not only focusing on the breath. It's just being present for what's happening, whatever is the predominant thing that's happening. And as whatever comes through their in the present moment, whatever comes through their field of awareness in the present, they name it out loud. They label it out loud. So I hear a car, hearing. Feel an itching. Thinking. Judging. Anxiety. Breathing in, breathing out. Breathing in, breathing out. Wondering what you think of me as I do this. Breathing in, breathing out. Starting to think about dinner. Noticing that mindfulness got stronger just now. Now I feel calmer. So it's a very, very simple reporting of what's happening as it happens. There's no judgments, there's no evaluations, no discussion, no story about it. Oh, I'm thinking about dinner because I'm hungry and because, you know, I have to make dinner tonight and, you know, whatever. It's just very, very simple, in the present moment, thinking about dinner or just thinking. So whatever you're being mindful, and you do it continuously. Because you're doing it in a regular, in a relaxed, easygoing pace, just staying in the present moment, saying it out loud, saying it out loud with someone there will probably keep you very much in the present. And you'll probably find it easier to stay in the present doing it this way than doing it silently by yourself. There's an added kind of emphasis or oomph or kind of, you know, engagement in it. And also, I'm hoping that this will give you a little bit of sense of how simple mindfulness can be. And it's very simple noticing, recognition of the simplicity of what's happening right now, as opposed to probing and fixing and manipulating. When you sit silent yourself, you might also get involved in this tinkering thing, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, that breath wasn't quite right. Let me see if I can make it a bit longer. When you're doing mindfulness out loud, there's no space for that. You just say, oh, you know, might be a little bit space, but you say, oh, there's a short breath. There's thinking the short breath is not good enough. Not good enough thoughts, not good enough. Then it goes away, oh, that went away, and now I'm back to the breath. And now it's shorter. And that's okay, feeling okay about it. So if you feel okay about it as a spontaneous thing, then you can note feeling okay about it. But you're not evaluating it on purpose. You know, that's not the purpose is just to name what you're recognizing, name what's happening in the present moment in a very simple way. Now, as you do this, there might be things that come through your consciousness and awareness that you'd rather not share out loud. Like you might be sitting there with your partner, and it occurs to you that people with, you know, that color socks, you know, are just awful people. And so you say, you know, you don't say, you know, thinking that people with that color socks is awful. You know, you might just say thinking. Or judging, or whatever, you know. But a point being, or something might happen that feels very, very sensitive to you. very tender to you or some deep way, and it feels a little too vulnerable to share that to the group here. You don't have to. This is not requiring full disclosure here. You don't have to let everything, everything out. You can keep some things private. And there's so much happening in the present moment that you can probably just skip over, or just pick something else out of the present moment than something that feels too difficult. But hopefully it's a trusting place here, and that there can be some trust and also some confidentiality. That as you do your mindfulness out loud, we should all kind of treat that as basically a confidential thing, and we don't, afterwards when during the break, kind of go, "You can't believe what so and so." I think we have, this is something to do with care and respect. It's a lot of care and respect to do this, but feel free to adjust it as you feel you need to do it when it's your turn. Any questions about that? Yes.
What is the person that's witnessing supposed to do?
Just sitting there and being present for it. The person who's doing it has the option of doing it with the eyes closed. Sometimes that's quite nice. You're not pulled into the social world. However, sometimes if you are pulled into the social world, that's also very interesting to name, if you feel comfortable naming it. I'm worried about what you think about me now, and, what you think about my socks. just kind of see what goes on. And finally, consider a little bit, The one thing I debated is whether to suggest that you choose someone the same gender. So I'm not going to do that. You could do anybody you want, but you might just keep that in mind, that maybe you're more comfortable with one gender rather than another in terms of that kind of way of being together. So just kind of choose. So let's see if hopefully we're an even number here. And if not, I'll try to figure out what to do about that. So also, I think it's good to spread out. And so I think if a good number of you would go into the outer hall, maybe like a third of you or half of you or something, just so that we don't hear each other that much, there's more space around. And so it can be conference room, maybe keep in there, one pair can be in there. And after about 10 minutes, I'll ring the bell, and then we'll take about a minute to be silent together for a while, and then you'll start to switch roles, and then, okay? So why don't you find someone to pair up? Yes, please.
So each one should be for about 5 minutes?
No, each one is 10 minutes. So 10 minutes, basically monologue for 10 minutes, and you stop when I ring the bell. Okay? So thank you. It felt really sweet in here. I don't know if you could really kind of sweet, precious feeling in the room, in the building here. And I somehow very much appreciated what seemed like the care and the quiet and the involvement with mindfulness out loud. But now I'd like to hear a little bit from some of you. What was that like to do? The doing part of it. Yes?
It was really simple. And it made me understand that actually, this morning you made a comment about mindfulness and concentration, and I think I mix those two. But mindfulness is no big deal. I mean, it's just...
Great. There was an Indian teacher named Munindra who said, if it's not simple, it's not vipassana. If it's not simple, it's not mindfulness. Someone else, yeah.
I think the most interesting observation came towards the end, because I was kind of enjoying the practice, actually. I was kind of willing my attention to be where I wanted it to be and communicating that. But then towards the end, I go, wait a second, I'm willing it, so I'm controlling the situation too much. Instead of just letting, for example, the most compelling thing to be my attention. And then I judge myself for that. But that was kind of a nice little any revelation.
Did you say those out loud?
Yeah.
Willing, yeah, feeling bad, judging. Yeah. Great. Beautiful. Thank you.
I felt really held by my partner and by the whole group.
And did that make it easier to be present? Would that support you in the mindfulness?
Well, I don't know whether I felt like it was easier. It was just, it's different from sitting alone.
Yes. And
very nice, very nice. I felt like little tears of gratitude.
Thank you. Behind you.
Sorry. I found being the observer to be a really... being the observer
yeah.
was a really good practice. It was similar to how I try and remain present for my hospice patient. So I felt like that actually was more mm-hmm. helpful to me.
You think you could internalize that and be present for yourself that way?
I found there was way less thinking going on than when I do mindfulness practice silently. And it was hard to say all the things that were happening, so I was more mindful of just responding to what was compelling at the moment and trying to articulate that.
Thank you.
I found it really helpful and insightful, and I was surprised that, which I hadn't observed before, that as I started to settle, my thoughts became more and more about my physical body. Heat and warmth and pressure and I had never noticed that before.
All right, so it's simpler and more immediate.
I experienced periods where I felt like I was just within my own experience, and it was and there was a separation. I'm feeling this, and then there were also periods where it felt like there was no boundary and there were just things arising.
Great. Thank you.
I started off with the thought, oh, this is way too long. It's going to be way too long. And toward the end, I thought, God, this, when is this going to end? You know, and I, of course, verbalized that and stuff. And I even thought that same thing when my partner was being mindful out loud. I kept thinking, God, when is the bell going to ring? I acknowledge that.
Great, good. Behind you? Oh, go ahead.
When I was doing the first observed, I felt a lot of like vibration and energy in my chest. And when the partner says something like seeing or like happiness, it resonated with me, like it triggered me to have those feelings and have me notice seeing and breathing and things like that. So that was very interesting.
Beautiful.
Being new to the practice, I felt like I had a puppy mind, like when puppies are all over the place. And because of that, I went in and out of having thoughts and then judging them and then trying to come back, and then this continuous wave of like anxiety for knowing that I was sharing all of these things with somebody. So having to regulate, you know, my own thought process and then in front of someone else. And so it was kind of spastic, but it was good.
Do you think you were more present during those 10 minutes than your normal meditation?
In some ways, yeah.
How many of you felt that you were more present for those 10 minutes than your normal meditation? About half of you?
Mm-hmm. One thing I noticed is that if I'm not mindful, I think that what's going on in my mind is really special and interesting. And when I am mindful, I hear it's repetitive, you know, hearing, body, in, out, you know. It's not, yeah, it's not that special when I really notice.
So what did some of you learn that you can apply to your regular meditation practice.
It's interesting because I was going to say that awareness can be just about anything. And I noticed the difference is that when I'm normally doing my practice, it's like, oh, my mind drifts. Like, I wasn't as present. I'm not as present often when I'm sitting. My mind drifts off. So in those cases, I always come back to the breath, which is, like you're saying, a little bit narrow and repetitive. And this one was like, I could just go anywhere, and it felt like I was successful, you know?
Yeah, you can be present. You can show up and be present for anything that's happening. You don't have to. Doesn't have to be some special thing in the present. That's an important insight.
One of the things that I'm more aware of now than I was, is that true? During the experience, I feel like when I sit in general, I'm trying to let go of being really specific about where in the body a sensation is or the pieces of perceiving what exactly that sound outside is. And I felt like in doing the Vipassana out loud, there was this extra piece of me that was doing more identification than I normally would.
Mm-hmm. So that's certainly something for you to explore. I don't know where there's a spectrum between being kind of vague about what we're aware of and being very particular, and where at different times you want to be different places on that spectrum. But I think that as the practice gets more, mindfulness gets stronger, you want to be more specific. You might not be specifically aware of where a sensation your body is.
Mm-hmm.
But you're very specifically aware of exactly the nature of that sensation.
Right.
Because the location, knee is kind of, that's an abstraction. But the pulling and searing and tightening, and that's all, that can be very particular.
Okay.
So one more, right back there.
I found that I did a lot of thinking, and it just really emphasized about how much I cling to thinking, having thoughts. You know, they're just constant, and then of course it shows up in my meditation where it's difficult to let go of thinking, and so for me it was like a lesson of letting go, letting be, and knowing that I can do that, and it also in my own meditation.
Great, thank you. So that mindfulness out loud is closely akin to the practice of mental noting, labeling experience, and there's a whole way of doing Vipassana that's optional, it's not necessary to do it, but there's a very strong tradition of using mental notes while you're sitting and meditating, where you're basically using a single word to name your experience as you're having it. And this exercise here can give you some indication of how effective or powerful it is to use mental noting in the same way that you said it out loud. And some of you who don't use mental noting, you might experiment with it a little bit and see if it can replicate some of the fullness of this exercise, the kind of way that helped you be present and simple with the experience. I hope also you got some sense of what it's like to be present moment by moment without trying to change your experience. Maybe some of you did, but you must know. So if you're thinking, you don't have to let go of your thought, you have to just say, thinking, really see it for what it is, then you're present. And then do it again the next moment. And the next moment, you don't have to kind of change it and get away from anything. And this idea of not evaluating or judging your experience, not trying to change it, but just staying in the flow of how things reveal themselves moment by moment, is a very powerful thing to do in the practice. So mindfulness is a jewel. It's a wonderful jewel that can become stronger, like a muscle that gets stronger. And as it becomes stronger, it becomes more of a jewel. It becomes a shine. It becomes more something that really becomes like a sense of strong sense of presence, strong sense of some of a strength that we have here. And as it becomes a strength or a sense of presence, then it shifts the balance of what we think is important or what we get fixated on or concerned about. As the mindfulness becomes a strong thing and it feels like a very valuable thing, then it might become you might be more interested in its value than the value of some of the things you think about. And so maybe you can start shifting almost naturally to being more and more present. And at some point, as a practice unfolds, the mindfulness starts to snowball. It starts to feel like it's kind of developing its own momentum, and it's growing and gathering speed, or in a sense, or strength on its own, rather than something we're always applying ourselves and, you know, coming back and being mindful, but it just, you know, has its own momentum. Snowballing is the feeling I had when I was rolling down the hill, just getting bigger and bigger snowball. So I'd encourage you for this month, before we do the next factor of awakening, that you consider more fully, more actively, the particular quality, faculty that you have of being mindful and paying attention, and all the different ways you can use it, all the different approaches, you know, the close-up lens, the wide-angle lens, the surgeon who probes, up in the tower, bird's eye view kind of thing, to explore and kind of explore it in different situations, circumstances, what's appropriate for different times and circumstances. And also this, what you learn from the mindfulness out loud, you might experiment with that both in your meditation. Try it out loud. I know people who do it privately at home in their own room. Just do the mindfulness out loud for 10 minutes or something just to get started in their meditation. And some people find that it really brings them into the present more than their usual first 10 minutes of meditation. And but also the idea of, you don't have to do it out loud, but do it silently. But you might experiment with doing that approach in different circumstances in your daily life, not just meditation. Like if you're standing in line in the supermarket for a minute or two, try it silently, and see what happens in the 2 minutes you have standing in line. What that kind of simple practice does to you. And there might be other circumstances where you find it interesting to do for a minute. You know, just kind of. And see what gets revealed. And I think it's most interesting when we give up control and we kind of see what bubbles up and what flows through. And broadcast it to the world. So thank you very much, and next time we do this, we'll do the enlightenment factor of investigation.